President Biden condemned racist conspiracy theories during a visit to the site of this weekend's mass shooting in Buffalo, New York.
In America, evil will not win, I promise you. Hate will not prevail, and white supremacy will not have the last word.
What action the president is calling for, and the state of gun manufacturing in the U.S., what a new report tells us about ghost guns. Plus, Fed Chair Jerome Powell in the hot seat at the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything Festival. It's Tuesday, May 17th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the central bank is moving rapidly to combat inflation that's running at a 40-year high. At the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything Festival today, Powell told our chief economics correspondent Nick Timmeros that the Fed has the tools and resolve to tighten monetary policy without tipping the economy into a recession, something often referred to as a soft landing.
So, Chair Powell, I heard you refer to a softish landing, and I want to ask, what's the difference between a soft landing and a softish landing? Because if the pilot tells me, don't worry, we're going to have a softish landing, I start to wonder what he's talking about.
Well, so you fly around, you know, sometimes the landing is just perfect, right? And sometimes it's just a little bumpy. And so it's still a good landing. You don't even notice it, right?
But Powell said there could be some pain involved in restoring price stability, including an uptick in unemployment. The Federal Reserve has raised interest rates twice so far this year. At this month's meeting, the central bank raised rates by half a percentage point for the first time since 2000. We have more highlights from the Future of Everything Festival on WSJ.com. Higher prices didn't stop U.S. shoppers from pumping more money into the economy in April for the fourth straight month. The Commerce Department says retail sales were up 0.9% from March, with consumers spending more at bars and restaurants and on cars, furniture, clothing, and electronics. They pulled back on groceries, home improvement, and sporting goods. Here's our economics reporter, Harriet Torrey.
That is definitely a good sign for the U.S. economy because GDP contracted in the first quarter. You know, we saw negative growth because of, you know, a lot of supply chain and inventory distortions. But this report is an early sign early in the second quarter that consumer demand remains strong and that you shouldn't, you know, underestimate the U.S. consumer. You know, they're still getting out there. They still want to spend. They're still going to restaurants and bars. And it's definitely a positive sign in terms of consumer demand.
There are signs that inflation is having some impact on retail businesses. Walmart says its sales grew last year, but higher product, supply chain, and employee costs ate into its profit. The company said its net income for the quarter fell by 25% from a year ago, and earnings per share came in below analyst expectations. Meanwhile, Home Depot is boosting its outlook for the year after reporting that first quarter sales rose 3.8%. The home improvement chain says it had fewer shoppers, but they spent 11% more per transaction. Gerber-owned Nestle says it'll fly extra baby formula from Switzerland and the Netherlands into the U.S. to alleviate a severe shortage across the country. The move comes just a day after the FDA said it was loosening import rules on formula from overseas manufacturers. Nestle also says it's ramping up production. Baby formula has been in short supply for months, partly because of supply chain issues. The Food and Drug Administration has cleared the COVID-19 booster from Pfizer and BioNTech for children ages 5 to 11. The decision expands access to about 28 million children, though vaccinations among the youths have been relatively low compared with rates in older people. And a new report from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives shows there's been a surge in gun manufacturing. In 2020, licensed gun makers built 11.3 million firearms. That was up 187% from the year 2000. In the past 2 years, a record number of Americans bought guns over concerns related to the pandemic, protests, and rising crime. Our national reporter, Zusha Ellenson, has more on the government's first comprehensive assessment of gun trafficking in more than two decades.
So what this report is trying to get at is how do guns make their way from legal commerce into the hands of criminals? And one of the big ways that happens is theft. So they can either be stolen from gun dealers or from individuals. And what this report finds is that over 5 years, about 40,000 guns were stolen from gun dealers. But actually, you know, if you look at the big picture, Way more guns are stolen from individuals. That's according to law enforcement sources and our reporting. We reported last month that gun thefts from cars and homes and burglaries around the country are going way up over the past 2 years. And that's because there's a lot of first-time gun owners and they are leaving their guns unsecured, police tell us. And what we also found is that a lot of those guns that are stolen are ending up in the hands of criminals and they're using them in shootings.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, gun homicides surged in 2020 to their highest levels in 26 years. Zusha says the report also found an increase in the use of so-called ghost guns.
They're guns that can be made at home or on 3D printers made with parts built that you buy on the internet. And they have no serial numbers, they can't be traced, and they can be bought without a background check. So law enforcement officials say they appeal to criminals because of this. And police have found, you know, in 2021, they found nearly 20,000 ghost guns in their criminal investigations. That's up from about 2,000 that they found 5 years prior. So the increase has been massive. The Biden administration has proposed a new rule that's going to go into effect later this year that will restrict ghost guns, and that may make a difference in this case.
We'll talk more about the Biden administration's response to gun violence coming up after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden were in Buffalo, New York today to honor the victims of a mass shooting over the weekend. 10 people were killed and 3 others injured in the alleged hate crime at a grocery store in a largely black neighborhood. City police say 11 of those shot were black and 2 were white. Wayne Jones, the son of one of the victims, 65-year-old Celestine Cheney, spoke to the Associated Press.
Strip all the tags. You're a person. And somebody gonna be hurting if you're gone, because you don't come back.
The 18-year-old suspect in the shootings described himself as a white supremacist and appears to have been motivated by racist conspiracy theories he found on the internet, according to a document posted online that police believe he wrote. Biden used his speech in Buffalo today to forcefully condemn such theories.
We have to refuse to live in a country where black people going about a weekly grocery shopping can be gunned down by weapons of war deployed in a racist cause. We have to refuse to live in a country where fear and lies are packaged for power and for profit.
Joining me now with more on how Washington is responding is Wall Street Journal White House reporter Tarini Party. Hi, Tarini. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Tarini, we heard from President Biden speaking in Buffalo this afternoon. He called the attack domestic terrorism. Tell us more about what he spoke about in his speech today.
So the president gave a pretty emotional speech today in Buffalo in which he strongly condemned racist conspiracy theories that, according to law enforcement officials, appear to have motivated the 18-year-old suspect for this mass shooting. The president named some of the victims of the shooting and at one point was choking back tears as he was talking about this. But the key here was that he really strongly denounced these racist conspiracy theories repeatedly in his speech and basically said that this type of hatred, this type of white supremacy ideology, it cannot be tolerated.
And this attack is being investigated as a hate crime, which, as you say, is something Biden talked about at length today.
That's exactly right. From what we know from law enforcement officials, the suspect wrote an 180-page document in which he described himself as a fascist, a white supremacist, a racist, and anti-Semitic. It also includes sort of a planned incident that's similar to the shooting that occurred on Saturday. He also included his goal of killing as many black people as possible and described a theory known as the Great Replacement. This theory asserts that political elites use immigration and other policies to reduce the white population. So this was something that the president in his speech brought up and said could not be tolerated and had to be rejected.
Tarini, we've seen a number of mass shootings targeting communities of color in recent years. How are the administration and Congress responding to the prevalence of attacks like these?
So for now, we're hearing, you know, with the president's speech today, a lot of focus on the racist conspiracy theories, denouncing that, talking about the hate that we're seeing in this country that's at the root of some of these shootings that we've seen. But in terms of policy proposals, we're sort of light on that at this point. We heard from the president today that he would like to see assault weapons ban, but he later also acknowledged to reporters that something like that would be very difficult to get through Congress, but he said he would continue to try. He also mentioned in his speech today that Congress needed to address the, quote, relentless exploitation of the internet to recruit and mobilize terrorism. So it's kind of a little unclear at this point what that would look like in policy form. But, you know, there are discussions about moderating perhaps these social media forums. We've heard from the governor in New York who said that some social media companies could do a better job of trying to monitor the content to intercept some extremists, perhaps.
And what about among lawmakers? What are we seeing there?
So we've heard from some Republican lawmakers who are calling on their own party's leaders to denounce white supremacy in the aftermath of this shooting. We've heard from Congresswoman Liz Cheney. She's one of those members who's called on her party to talk about the racist conspiracy theories and reject them strongly. You know, we've also heard from some Democrats who are trying to push for legislation to create domestic terrorism offices within the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice. They've said that, you know, this might help federal officials watch for and monitor potential domestic terrorist activity. This is something that the White House so far has said that they're still reviewing and aren't sure if they will support.
Tarini, you mentioned gun control. We also learned today that there has been a surge in gun manufacturing, including a growing number of so-called ghost guns that are made with parts bought online or made on 3D printers. Lawmakers have very much been at odds over gun rights and gun control after previous incidents like this. Is there any new action that you're hearing about following the Buffalo shootings? How is this resonating in Washington right now in terms of those conversations?
I think there is just an acknowledgement that it's going to be very difficult to get anything in terms of gun control measures through Congress. The president himself acknowledged that today in his speech. He called for a ban on assault weapons, but then later acknowledged again that it would be very hard to do. So in terms of what action Congress can take in terms of gun control, this is the sort of similar conversation we have after every mass shooting, unfortunately, that ends up leading to nothing happening essentially in Congress. So at this point there, you know, we don't have reason to believe it'll be otherwise, but the president has said that, you know, he will keep trying to get an assault weapon ban passed through Congress.
That's Wall Street Journal White House reporter Tarini Partee. Tarini, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks.
We have more updates on the news on our website, WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.